A Whig Solidarity Biggie team listener, when the week that was has for too long ignored the dear little children, the little kiddies who are up and about at this time of morning, mostly ignoring their parents' pleas to shut up and give us some peace. So I thought we could make small amends with a delightful little children's story. So sit down, girls and boys, and listen to Uncle Kevvy's lovely tale. Once upon a time in the divided kingdom of Socialist Party, there were the good people, the left people called good because they were better than the bad people, known as the right people, although they were mostly the wrong people. And when the right people did the wrong, often with the big world evil ruler, the US of the UN of the US of the world, and obeyed any orders given it by the evil ruler, the better then than the bad people, left children would complain and declare this must be stopped. And although they said that every time, it was never stopped. And then after some years of not stopping the wrong, the left people found they were in a position to make the decision so they could stop the wrong. And isn't that good, I hear you say? Well, sorry, girls and boys, but once they could stop what they previously couldn't stop, they stopped trying to stop what they couldn't stop. In other words, I'm sure, children, you've all read Animal Farm, where the pig Napoleon became worse than the oppressors he had opposed. And so, in other words, they became as bad as, even worse than, the right who were wrong, and became even more wrong, agreeing to support the cries for train killing and being very, very offensive of their new, very, very close friend, the evil ruler, promising to do everything the evil ruler ordered them to do. So much so that one of the original right-wrong people called Paul, once the world's greatest worst treasurer, who with another right-wrong-bad person called Nuclear Hawk himself, worked with the caring employers to steal the strength from the powerful unions and workers, leading to the right who were wrong and subsequent caring business class rulers shrinking the unions and making unions acting as unions illegal with harsh penalties. Yet that Paul attacked the left who are now wrong for being wrong. Although Paul does have a vested interest, financial interest in the country the evil ruler declares is a threat to the evil ruler being the evil ruler, and therefore the left now wrong naturally declares the country is also a threat to the evil ruler and therefore to True Blue Aussie, even though it is a huge True Blue Aussie trading partner, and that, children, is called cutting off your nose to spite your face. So don't cut off your nose, girls and boys. And thus the left who are now wrong, a man called Anthony Albanese and a woman called Penny Left Wing, came home from the country of the evil ruler. And when they spoke, people asked, "What's that on your tongues?" And they said, "Oh, it's just boot polish." And little quiz, how do you think that got there, children? And so in the quest for peace, as determined by the evil ruler, they spent $360 billion big, big dollars on the evil merchants of death, on what they tell us is the most honorable occupation, killing people, which is about as honorable as they are. And so all this shows, children, there is no left left. Well, I hope you enjoyed our story. But left people, well, people with a bit of honour, will assemble today to tell the left that it is wrong to spend hundreds of billions on killing people and not spend hundreds of billions on what would benefit people, like, say, help the living live better. Interesting, the aforementioned Paul said he was a Bolshevik compared to Anthony Albanese and the minister for being offensive and train killing Richard Moores, the bad guys. And while it doesn't say much about neoliberal fanatic Paul, it sure as hell says heaps about Anthony and Richard. Sadly, sure as hell on earth. Mentioned last week, just when we thought the caring business class parties would oppose the government on just everything for the sake of opposing the government, Richard and coalition supremo and would-be big supremo Constable Peter Duffer, also his predecessor as Minister for Being Offensive, agreed that spending $360 billion on killing people was for peace, not war. not trained killing. But sadly, have to report, listener, the accord collapsed when the government suggested it could find the $360 billion by making some cuts to other trained killing areas, causing poor Pete to have a fit. Trained killing is sacrosanct, like you know. No, we must cut non-sacrosanct, non-essentials like housing, transport, health, education. Make Dolbludger's misery a bit more miserable. After all, the 360 bill is to protect them. Kind of like, you know, although Denny's shadowy minister for being offensive and trained killing, Andrew Hasty to Shoot, a former big-time trained killer who just loves a bit of trained killing, said maybe some savings could be made in the trained killer budget, showing that maybe again the right hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing. As one of the Faucus signatories, His Most Gracious Majesty's home country, Big Supremo Rishi Soon Makem Poor, said evil China was a threat to world peace by complaining, for instance, about being surrounded by US OB train killer bases, which we know displays the US OB's desire for peace. While his foreign secretary said China should not view the Faucus nuclear deal as having anything to do with it at all. We've got to wonder how evil China could have possibly got that impression in the first place. But again, does the right hand know what the right hand is doing? Still, it's good to have a detailed announcement that we will get who knows how many nuclear killers by who knows when, with True Blue Aussie showing what a loyal acolyte it is. Sorry, true great friend of the US of it is, by announcing we would retain and dispose of the massive levels of nuclear waste, weapon-grade nuclear waste, while declaring we are abiding by our nuclear non-proliferation agreements, leaving us to ponder what we'd have to do not to be abiding by. Constable Duffer again displayed his Mensa intelligence, putting long-haired commie greenie protests over the nuclear waste problems in their place. Grow up, he snapped, like you know. Oh, how we admire his capacity for logic and debate. One of the loudest voices of long-haired commie greenie protest celebrated his 60th birthday in a Fitzroy pub recently, but obviously he is still a child. He needs to grow up. On such matters, a former US OB security operative warned True Blue Aussie after evil China mediated a rapprochement between Saudi and Iran, two fine examples of democracy vying for world number one in the treatment of women. This is more proof that evil China poses a major threat to world peace, world order, world security, he alerted us, pointing out the US OB's decades-long mediation between Zion and the Palestinian non-land, non-people showed how to mediate successfully. Our even handedness has guaranteed liberty, freedom, and democracy, loving Zion's right to do what it needs to do to guarantee liberty, freedom, and democracy. But China succeeded. Where it's none of its business, China, evil China, has no right to interfere in other countries' affairs. And while I'm at it, Russia cannot go on denying it shut down a US of peace-loving drone over US of territory. But it was over the Black Sea. That's what I said, a US of territory. Thankfully, the threat of a nuclear disaster may be averted by the planet not lasting long enough, thanks to another merchants of death business, the equally responsible, sensitive fossil industry. Because clearly we have to make choices, have to determine whether we can afford to save the planet. Ironically, that on the one hand, to protect the planet, they tell us we must spend trillions and trillions worldwide on lethal products that could destroy the planet. And on the other, we have products destroying the planet that are so valuable we can't afford not to destroy the planet. So either way, it doesn't say much for the future of the planet. But this was expressed most intelligently and empathetically by a US of filthy rich of the filthy rich visitor, Sean Strawbridge, real name, who runs the US OB's largest fossil port. It's in Texas. It's called Corpus Christi, showing the dear baby Jesus supports destroying the planet, but only because it's for a good cause. There are fringe groups on either side of the political debate, and their incendiary rhetoric is the only thing that's picked up by the mainstream media, Sean Sage indeed complained, ignoring the minor fact that Sean's non-incendiary language was being reported in the mainstream media. But it would be hugely disruptive to global economies if we stopped natural gas. See? If it's the economy of the planet, bad luck, Mother Earth. But goodness me, they'd save the planet. They'd keep telling us how much they care about the planet. They'd save the planet if only it didn't disrupt global economies. Perhaps we could park a couple of nuclear sub-killing machines at Corpus Christi and give Sean a full hand. And over in the US, one of our very favorites, Woodside with fossil supremo Meg O'Neill before profits, told a conference that spending on renewable energy less than half what it is spending on just one fossil, the Scarborough LNG project, was proportionate to the size of the market. So there, it's renewable energy's fault. Become more profitable. The market is king. As a by-the-by, notice former nuclear disarmament candidate but later Socialist Party Environment Destruction Minister Peter Garrett agreed with Paul and said the Fawkes deal stinks, which would carry a lot more moral weight if he had not told us how proud he was to be opening a uranium mine when he waited to be a minister. On that item we raised last week, our mother country, His Most Gracious Majesty's home country government praising True Blue Aussie if it adopted our humane concentration camps, razor wire and sink the boats treatment of no proper papers, queue jumping illegal boat people. In the week that was as renowned impartial reporting, we contacted the BBC for detail on the policy, but discovered no one was working. And they referred us to the big supremo Rishi Soon Megan Poor for the BBC's impartial opinion. But sorry, can't help you here either, because Rishi was too busy scratching Anthony Albanese's belly and flogging us trillions in things that kill people. Finally, if we reckon True Blue Aussie workers are lazy and avaricious and evil unions are evil, they are nothing compared to the selfishness and irresponsibility of South Korean workers who are kicking up a fuss over their government's very sensible proposal to increase the weekly work cap from 52 hours to a mere 69 hours. And that wouldn't be every week, just when their caring employer needs them to work those hours. Yet they say silly things like it will allow caring employers to impose grueling hours, which also don't include commute time and checking emails and other messages time. How selfish. After all, there's still plenty more hours in the week. What about a bit of balance of give and give on the one hand and take on the other? Seriously, listener, work choices is starting to look good. Good morning.